All right. I should say before we get started this morning, this isn't intentional, but I'm probably going to offend some people this morning. Okay? 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 We'll see. All right. It all depends on the person. So get ready. Send all of your complaints to Ike Tritt, okay? His email, I think, is iTritt or something like that. You just send him and say, you know, that blasted pastor, he said this or he did that, and you ought to have a talk with him. But heavens, I don't want to run out of pages, okay? But just so you're ready. Because this is one of those that I think can maybe push us back a little bit, but hopefully push us more into following in the footsteps of Jesus, who always said, follow me. Disciples one day were watching Jesus as he was praying. They listened to him for a little while, and finally one of them mustered up the courage to say what all of them had wanted to ask Jesus for some time. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Lord, would you teach us? They concluded that maybe they had been doing it wrong. They had learned prayers from their parents, portions of the Psalms, little other Old Testament readings, but they continued to pray those same prayers, kind of like children. Jesus, however, seemed to pray so different. So they went to him and they said, would you teach us how to pray? If somebody heard you or I pray and came along and said, well, man, you ought to learn to pray. Or, you know, we ought to sit down next week and I'll teach you how to pray. We'd be offended. But if we're honest, few of our prayers get answered anyways, right? Right? Well, wait a minute. You found your car keys. They're exactly where you left them the last time you put them down, right? And you got a parking lot space at the mall, but so did 200 other people who didn't pray, but they found a spot as well. You've prayed for miracles. And if God doesn't come through, you get stuck with nothing. And occasionally, God might answer one of those prayers, but far too often you get nothing. And occasionally, we begin to lose confidence in God and we ask the question, does prayer work? Does it really, really work? We pray. We don't get answers, or at least we don't get the answers we want, the way we want them, when we want them. Yet Jesus prayed, and he told his disciples to pray, and we pray regardless of the outcome. It becomes almost reflexive for many of us. But Jesus had this unique way of praying. It was very intimate. It was filled with passion. It was intense. And the disciples wanted that. Teach us to pray, Lord. Now, in typical Jesus fashion, he says, okay, I'll teach you, but before I teach you how to do it, here's how not to do it, okay? And he begins to teach about the hypocrites, the many folks who pray publicly. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, shouting out their prayers so people can hear them and know that they are praying. The one thing about Jesus, he didn't have a lot of time for pretension. No tolerance for it. And he called it out in front of them. He said, I tell you the truth. Those people that are on the corner, those people that are in the synagogue, they have received their reward in full. Period. Amen. Let's pray and go home. They have received their reward. You see, God isn't moved by the perfect scripted prayer by an inauthentic person. Their reward was they wanted attention, and by God, they got it. Amen. On we go. Then he says, when you pray, raises a question, actually maybe three or four of them, but when do we pray? Do we pray? Why do we pray? You see, the disciples knew those questions were running through their own minds, and they knew they had answers, but they didn't have the same answers as Jesus. They had prayed for their nation. They had prayed for their families for years and years and years. But nothing ever happened. So maybe they just weren't doing it right. The religious leaders of their day had a different take. They'd say, oh, God answers prayers, but not your prayers, common people, because you're not holy enough. You're not good enough. You're not obedient enough. Perhaps someone has said to you, your prayers aren't getting answered because you're not obedient enough. You're not good enough. You need more faith and less sin. And the unfortunate thing about that is that over time we begin to, with that viewpoint, we begin to view God like an ATM machine. We just go to him and we get there and we just hope the machine has enough money to cover us. We scramble to find our PIN number to get from God what we want. But when you pray, Jesus said, go into your room. Close the door. He wants us to isolate ourselves in our room. Not in the church. Not in traffic. Not even before a meal. Then he tells us why we should find a quiet place. Why we should isolate ourselves from everything and everyone. He comes back to that question, when and where do you pray? First thing Jesus says is, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he'll reward you. Not just the crowd that wants to hear your loud prayers. Your Father in secret will respond and reward you in secret. And Jesus instructs us to pray to this unseen Father, to pray to God. He doesn't say to his disciples, make sure you pray to me. He doesn't want them to pray to his mama. I thought you'd all laugh. But now they only laugh when I say, I thought you would laugh. They don't want them to, him to pray. He doesn't want them you to pray to him. He doesn't want you to pray to his mama. Okay. And he doesn't even want you to pray to the saints. But to your Father, your heavenly, unseen, uncreated He wants us to understand that there is a relationship there. Our Father who is unseen, find a place and have a conversation with your Heavenly Father. A place that you can say what you need to say in a tone and with the words that you need to use. Pray in private so that you aren't distracted, but rather that you can pour out your heart to your Heavenly Father. Then your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Secret prayer is rewarded. Those who pray in the public have been seen, they've received their reward, but those who pray in secret will be seen by their Heavenly Father. And I don't know about you, but I want for me, and I want for all of you, when you pray, I don't care about the rest of the population seeing you pray. I want your Heavenly Father to see you and me when we pray. And the way to do it, it says, is get in a quiet place. And then Jesus says, oh, one more other thing I want you to realize. And he kind of moves away from the religious leaders in the Jewish tradition. And he said, talks about the Roman priests and priestesses. Another thing he said, when you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans. For they think that they will be heard because of their many, many words. He's saying, you don't have to say things over and over and over again. Repetition does not move God. The length, the style of your prayers don't move God. Let's just pause for a minute. Jesus told a parable about this, about a Pharisee and a tax collector who both went up to the synagogue or to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was long in his prayer and it was all about him. That's right. But the tax collector was different. You see, Jesus, the crowd was watching as Jesus told this story, and they pictured this guy whom God surely wouldn't hear his prayers. He said the tax collector, though, stood at a distance, meaning he was as far away from the Holy of Holies as possible. He would not even look to heaven to address God, his Father. And instead, he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Not really a great prayer. I mean, one sentence. But you know what Jesus said? Two thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Which should encourage you, should encourage me, that our prayers are far less consequential, the words of our prayers are far less inconsequential than us praying ourselves. And Jesus goes on, he says, when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. And he explains why we don't need many words or just the correct words. And this is where some of you might want to send Ike the first of your hate mail for the pastor. Okay. In fact, what I'm going to share with you may pull the rug out of many of your prayers and my prayers. For your Father knows, he says, what you need before you ask him. To which I say, well, Jesus, if God knows what I need before I ask, then why ask? There you go. You people are a lot smarter than the people at Wagamuth this morning. I think the point that Jesus is making here, if we ask, you know, why pray? I don't think we're really there to inform God. God already knows. I'd be a little scared if I was praying to a God and I had to inform him of what was going on in my life, right? Most of us, unfortunately, whittle down our prayer list to something like this. Dear God, thank you for the day. Here's my list of things that I want you to work on. And by the way, I'm busy. I've got to do this, 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 and this. I got to go. I don't know if you laugh because it's funny or it's true. But Jesus prayed. So what was he doing that we're missing? That we get wrong or don't quite get it right. And Jesus, at that moment, steps right into the middle of the tension that they were all feeling, that I think we feel. And Jesus says, wait a minute, wait a minute. When you pray, pray, our Father in... It raises some other questions there when you start to talk about Father in heaven. It doesn't say the Mother in heaven. It doesn't say the divine being. But we do know that Jesus said that God was S-P-I-R-I-T. Spirit. Jesus said that God was spirit. John said, if you were here last Sunday, God is love. That's right. I don't want us to get hung up on that, though. Jesus is inviting us into something, to a concept, a being greater than we can understand. He is inviting us into a personal, relational, non-formulaic environment to spend time with God. In fact, Peter, who was a part of this very conversation, later would write, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for... It's intimate, it's personal. Jesus, in using this terminology, kind of is helping accommodate us to our capacity or comprehension of who God is, this one whose image we bear. For some of us, it may be the very best imagery. I mean, I left a service where I left my 92-year-old dad, who's going to turn 93 in a couple months. And I had a really blessed relationship with him. We can share at a pretty doggone intimate level. But I also realize that there are others for whom that image of a father, a heavenly father, might not be so easy. My advice to you is to simply bring all of that with you when you pray. See, because God already, he knows that you may struggle, that maybe your earthly father wasn't the greatest. So when you pray, still pray, even if you have to carry that with you. There's some reason that Jesus chose our Father in heaven. He could have chosen any one of a number of other images, but he chose that one probably because he didn't want us in any way to reduce our understanding or to change our understanding. It was our Heavenly Father that gave us the fullest understanding of what he's talking about when he talks to his Heavenly Father. Now, the other reason why you might write Ike today, okay? I'm not, you know, but I'm... No. All right. Jesus continued, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. He just wants us to pause and to acknowledge who it is that we're addressing. The uncreated creator of the world who has no equal, and he is inviting us into a relationship with him. An intimate relationship with an infinite God. And yet we just fly by that every time we pray to this unknown God. We pause to, do we pause to reflect on why we should pause and realize who he is? He wants us to understand more fully the broader context of our lives. That our lives are made in the image of the image bearer. And if we skip over that, we will be tempted to skip over other things when we pray. What follows is why we pray. What is our purpose for praying? God is not a good luck charm like a rabbit's tail, no, rabbit's foot that we rub. All right? If we don't stop and understand who it is we're praying to, the creator of all, then when we pray, we really are lowering our standards. It becomes more of like I do too often. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Here's my list. I got to go. The disciples said, teach us to pray. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, he said, hallowed be your name. No long prayer. No repeating. Only God the Father. How holy, how great are you. And then our stuff, right? Jesus said, no. You say, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To which we say, your kingdom, your will, what about me and my will? What about my kingdom? What about my family, my health? What about my job, my fears? What about my bills and my kids? The ones who won't even talk to me. What about me? To which Jesus said, I've already covered that. Remember, he knows your need before you ask. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I don't need to ask. When we realize who we are talking to, all we need to say is, God, Heavenly Father, you are great and to be praised. And then it's your will that's next. You're next. You're first. Your kingdom come, your will be done. My kingdom can wait. My will can wait. It's what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he said those five words, maybe more than five. One, two, three, six. Seek ye the kingdom of, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus is saying, and this is where the letters will start to come. There is a point, a purpose to prayer. And the purpose to prayer is to teach us to surrender our will, not impose our will. Nobody got up, at least publicly, and said anything. God, before I ask you anything, I want you to know that I want what you want. Your will be done. Prayer is not about moving God, but being moved by God. not to convince him to do our bidding, but to get us to the place where we will do his bidding. I mean, isn't this what Jesus wrestled with in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he got down on his hands and his knees and he said, Lord, I see what you have ahead for me. I don't like any part of it, but Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. And you know what hung in the balance of Jesus' following of his Father's will? What hung in the balance that night when he said, I can do it my way and get out of this, or I can do it your way and your will? Do you know what hung in the balance? What's that? You're right. Every single one of us hung in the balance because Jesus said, your will be done and not my will. If we don't pray that way, then we aren't doing prayer right. Heavenly Father, your agenda before. And we start all over. Yeah, she's got the notes, so she can shout. I didn't give you the notes. Oh, okay, well, hey, we're almost done. You're doing pretty good. Okay, very good, very good. Now I'm lost, all right? Your kingdom come, and your will be done. And Lord, help me to do whatever I can to bring about your will. And help me to see when I might be getting in the way. On earth, right here and now, in my relationships with my family and my friends and my resources and my community, make it, Lord, using me to be more like heaven starting today. And until we get to that point, I think we're just consumers. We're just using God as a vending machine. We put in our $1.25 and we pull the right lever and we get our candy-coated prayer answered. God doesn't answer all of our prayers. Say maybe we've been praying for a friend or a loved one and God doesn't seem to care. He doesn't answer. But let me ask you, does that say something about God? Or does that say something about our view of God? Do we start down that old path again of, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. I don't think he cares. I'm not sure that he's even there. Want to think that way? Okay. If you see God as a favored distributor, as a divine healer waiting to be summoned, or as a lifeguard waiting to be called into action, okay. But what if his plan is bigger than you? And you aren't at the center of his plan, but you are a part of his plan. What if prayer is not about asking, but recognizing and submitting? Heavens, I think of all of the days that I get out of bed and I do that thing with God where I say, hi, God, I got a list of heavy things to do today. I got to go. And then halfway through the day, I am so bogged down because I tried to do my will, not his will. And then he looks and he laughs and he says, come on, let's redirect and get something done. Our Heavenly Father loves each and every one of us so much. In fact, you look at somebody next to you right now. You look at them and you say, your Heavenly Father loves you so much. Go ahead, do it. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He does. He wants you to avoid those moments where your will supersedes His will. So, Father, Heavenly Father, hallowed, most honored, most glorified is your name. Your kingdom, not mine, your kingdom come. Your will, not the will that I got over here that I got to work on, it's going to take me half the day to do. Your will be done. And Lord, may we make earth around us look a little bit more like heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us that much. And yet, Lord, sometimes we just don't get it. We don't get, Lord, that you're there to help us, to guide us. So help us, Lord, to see your hand, to know your heart, and Lord, to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.